These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for systematic reviews. It was prepared by Dr. Eric Bass from the Department of Medicine and Dr. Tanjing Li from the Department of Epidemiology. It will be presented by Dr. Bass.
Hello, this is Eric Bass. In this module, I will be discussing step two in the systematic review process, establishing eligibility criteria. The second step in the systematic review process is to establish criteria for including studies. This step begins by reviewing how the question was framed in the PCOTS framework. If the question was well specified, it should be straightforward to define specific eligibility criteria based on the targeted population, intervention, comparisons, outcomes, timing, and setting. Then the reviewer will need to decide what study designs to include, taking into consideration the types of studies that are likely to be done for different types of questions, as shown here. A review should include studies with the strongest design for that type of question. For questions about therapy, diagnostic accuracy, screening, prevention, and harms, it's best to look for any randomized controlled trials that have been done. Randomized trials rarely are available for questions about diagnostic tests, so other studies, such as case series, may need to be included. For questions about harms, randomized trials usually are inadequate by themselves, making it necessary to consider including cohort studies and case control studies. For other types of questions, it may also be necessary to consider cohort studies, cross-sectional studies, and case control studies. Virtually all reviews of therapeutic questions seek to include randomized controlled trials. However, for many topics, randomized trials are not available or are insufficient to answer the question. Often it's necessary to include other types of studies having a comparison group, such as non-randomized trials or cohort studies comparing two or more interventions. Although observational studies have important limitations, they may be the only source of information about certain types of outcomes, especially infrequent adverse events and unintended harms. Sometimes the reviewer may want to narrow the scope of the review by excluding studies having a very small sample size, or published many years ago, or not being subjected to any form of peer review. For reviews on topics relevant to the American healthcare system, the reviewer may choose to limit the review to reports in the English language, but should consider the possibility of relevant studies being reported in other languages. PCORI has indicated that it's flexible about the need to include studies reported in other languages. Bias and error can creep into the systematic review process if insufficient attention is given to this step. Bias can occur if the eligibility criteria are influenced by conflict of interest, or if they are unduly influenced by prior knowledge of the studies. The review also will be more susceptible to error if the eligibility criteria are inadequately specified. To minimize bias and error from this step in the process, the reviewer must try not to hide or bury what has been excluded from consideration. The reviewer should meticulously enumerate the studies that were excluded and give explanation of the reasons for exclusion. In some cases, it may be desirable to include some of the excluded studies in a sensitivity analysis. In all cases, the reviewer should comment on the exclusion criteria in the discussion section so that readers are aware of the limits of the covered literature. The Institute of Medicine Standards offers specific recommendations for setting the eligibility criteria for review. Some of the standards are the same as what was presented for the first step in the systematic review process. Establish a team with appropriate expertise to conduct the review, with expertise in systematic review methods and searching. Ensure user and stakeholder input as the review is designed and conducted, while protecting the independence of the team to make final decisions, and managing bias and conflict of interest for individuals providing input, which requires disclosure and potentially excluding input from those whose conflict or bias would diminish credibility in the eyes of intended users. By the time the reviewer is setting the eligibility criteria, There should be a protocol to guide subsequent work on the review. The protocol should include a number of things relevant to this step. Describe the context and rationale for the review from a decision-making and research perspective. Describe study, screening, and selection criteria. And describe which outcomes, time points, interventions, and comparisons will be addressed.